Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Wildman, as the announcer just told you, and joining me to co-host today, Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, and happy Monday to you, Tim.
Happy Monday back at you, Ed.
Hey, thank you.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Yes, made it in through the tough, tough winter weather here in Tupelo.
had some wisecracks.
Yeah.
Went down slightly below freezing. Everything is relative.
Hey, I bought my milk and bread and eggs.
Just in case.
Just in case it went down to 20.
It actually did last night, didn't it? I think it was 20 or something.
20, 21, 22, something.
A little bit
like
chilly.
That.
On the other hand, we're talking to, we had a group go to Dubuque, Iowa.
Yeah.
Last Thursday from AFA.
Had a great attendance for all those who went to that event.
550, 600 people, something like that. Really, really good event. But they were talking about the weather up there, and they said it was at some point it was minus one and 20 miles per hour wind, so you know, wind chill factor. And so I asked Walker Wildman, I said, did you go dress like that? And he said, yeah, he had just a little windbreaker on.
Well, we had a team of five or six or seven at the Dubuque meeting on last Thursday night. And several of them flew home, said they got out just in time before that
storm
hit Iowa, or at least hit Dubuque.
Yeah.
So otherwise, you'd had about five or six
people still up there.
Southern boys trapped in the snow and ice of Iowa.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'd have been good for anybody.
Right.
You know, half life, but we're. In the South, we're kind of getting away with a fairly mild winter. We've had mostly rain.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was temperatures last week in the 60s some days, that kind of thing.
You're angering a lot of people from the upper Midwest right now.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Yeah. Canadian.
Yes. Speaking of Canadian, front page of Fox News yesterday was snowstorm. It was a blizzard. In Newfoundland?
Snowmageddon.
Is that where you're from?
Close to.
Nova Scotia.
Yeah, that's right.
That Newfoundland. There is a video that a guy took. You know, you have the doorbells now with video cameras on it.
Yeah.
And the video that Fox News was showing was a guy, he let that run for a 24-hour period out his back porch. So it starts off, you know, the snow is in the distance. 30 inches later.
Wow.
He can't see out his back door.
One storm.
30 inches, blizzard conditions. They've sent in the military, the Canadian military, to help out.
All five people?
Oh, my word.
All five people.
You know it's bad.
You know it's bad.
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm here to announce, Fred, I apologize.
Based on everything we've just talked about, I'm here to announce my candidacy for the President of the United States. My platform is probably going to be more or less one issue, and that's this. Everybody who's for global warming, join me. Because that's going to be basically my
We're in favor. You're in favor.
I'm in favor of global warming, and if you're with me, I'll be sending out, you know, invitations for you to give to my campaign. All right, so much to talk about, so little time. We've got a lot going on today. Today is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's a federal holiday. And so there's a lot of, as there is every year this day, a reflection on the life of Dr. King and his message. And Ed, I think this is what Dr. King stood for, that is civil rights for all Americans, fair play, treating people as you want to be treated, those are things we can celebrate. don't you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Jim Crow laws were a real thing in the South, in the up until the run up until the start of the Civil Rights Movement, which was, I think, in 1955, I believe, was when the bus strike in Alabama the boycott was called Rosa Parks. Dr. Martin Luther King wasn't the only one who was calling and appealing to the conscience of white Americans, the consciences of white Americans, and taking a stand against the injustice of Jim Crow laws. My wife remembers, she's from Mississippi, she says, I remember, you know, when blacks were not allowed to, they had to sit up in the balcony at movie theaters. Mm-hmm. There was a colored section.
The back of the bus was real.
The back of the bus was real.
You had different water fountains.
Yes, she said, I remember when small town in central Mississippi she lives, grew up in, Morton, Mississippi. The interstate runs through there, and the highway ran through. She said, I remember a young black man came and just went into the diner to eat, and he was not allowed. He was told to leave, and he said, I'm not leaving. I'm hungry. And the local sheriff came in and he forced him out, ran and shot him in the back and got away with it.
Where was that?
This is back in the early 60s, I think. And so this is a very real thing for black Americans. Martin Luther King was probably the most famous of the leaders of the civil rights movement. And so we tell people that Christianity is important in calling a culture back to God and to doing what is right in God's eyes. And so when I talk to Christians who say, I don't think Christians ought to be involved in politics. So you think this Baptist minister, Martin Luther King Jr., was wrong?
To be involved in politics?
To be involved in politics because they were trying to change laws. Mm-hmm. What happened in changing laws was hearts were changed. Mm-hmm. So this is a hero of America and a fine representative of Christian involvement in politics.
And you know, Dr. King had his moral failures too. Right. He was known as an adulterer. And also, there's some other things we could go into. But I don't cancel a man's message because he himself was flawed.
Right.
And I don't think we should. Okay?
Including with our founding fathers.
Right. You don't cancel everything they did and stood for. So that's what we celebrate today is the advancement of civil rights and human rights and really carrying out the biblical admonition to love your neighbor as yourself. And, let it also be said that the appeal that Dr. King and other civil rights leaders made was to a white country.
Right.
Okay. A vast majority white country.
Right.
I don't know what the percentage of African Americans was at the time. Today it's like 13 or 14%, I think. So the appeal, and basically it was the appeal that they were making, those civil rights leaders, was to white Christian America.
Right.
To say, look, you're better than this, and we need a better America for all of us.
Right.
And guess what? White Christian America agreed. We must make changes. Now, they were slow in coming oftentimes in other places. Because when you dehumanize this is what the left want to do today with Christians. But when you dehumanize people, then you can treat them any way you want to.
Right.
Right? So that's what had happened to a large extent. We had dehumanized African American people, so then you could treat them any way you wanted to, and be justified in your own mind.
Yes.
So,
if they're no better than a dog, then you can treat them like a dog.
Yeah. So all that changed. Thank God, it changed in our lifetime. Of us in my lifetime, I didn't experience segregation. By the time I entered elementary school in the early 70s, we already, even in Mississippi, we had blacks and whites went to school together.
And let me just say this quick, and I know we don't talk the whole show about it, but I remember up north. Now, a lot of people say, well, it's just those bigots down south. Well, in 1969, I'll never forget this because we had to read the decision.
You were living in?
I was living in New Hampshire, grew up in the New England area, and we had to read the decision of Judge John Garrity, who was a federal district judge and ordered busing for the schools in Boston. And all of New England went ballistic, and there were near riots in Boston. And my wife said, "This kind of thing's not funny, folks." But she said,
"From Mississippi,
from Mississippi," she said, "all those Yankees always telling us we were a bunch of racists." She said, "We just watched and laughed. All those white people up in Boston, you know, getting angry because their kids had to go to school with black people, with black kids."
Right.
And so to me, that shows that the human heart, I wasn't a Christian at the time, but the human heart is, as the Bible says, deceitfully wicked. And that's true even north of the Mason-Dixon line. So that's...
The history of the world is filled with one ethnic group mistreating another one.
Yes.
And so it goes. Yeah. And so you have to contend with that always.
And that's why the gospel is so important.
Amen.
Change the human heart.
All right, Fred, what do you got? Yeah, your top story is what?
Well, the fight for rights, existing rights, is what's on the agenda today in Richmond, Virginia, because that's where people who still believe in the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, are fighting for that right to continue, because in Virginia, you now have the Democrats in complete control of the legislature, House, Senate, and the governor's office. So if you've been paying attention to the news of recent days, they want to bring in some of the strictest, if not the strictest, anti-gun laws in the country. We're talking about things like they want to ban gun ranges, where people would go to be more responsible in their ownership of guns. Thousands of people from all over the country, they understand how important this is, gun owners do, from all over the country have gathered there. It's kind of a surreal scene if you've been watching news this morning. They've put this wire fencing up all around the legislative building, and so it's cordoned off. The only way you can get in there to protest officially is through one entrance, and of course you can't have any guns. Now, outside of that fence, there are people who are allowed to carry their weapons today, but there is a gun ban as you approach the legislature there today. One of the speakers at the rallies that are going to be held there today is a guy by the name of Stephen Williford. Now, not a household name, at least right now, but go back a few years to that church shooting in Texas, in Sutherland Springs, Texas, where more than 20 people died. He is the guy who went in and shot the gunman in that church. He is speaking there today at that rally, and he talks about why his AR-15 was necessary in his case, and says the Virginia gun ban is unconstitutional. Cut three.
He came out, he had a tactical bulletproof helmet and class 3 body armor. If I had not had an AR-15, I would probably have not made it. The people of Virginia need to know that they can't stand for these kind of bans. Our Constitution stands against it. It's, it shall not be infringed. And these were rights that were given to us by God, not by politicians. They were rights, they were things that were set out and said that the government has no right to infringe on, that they're rights given to us by God.
So there you have it. That was Stephen Williford, a Texas man who was a hero in taking down the shooter in that church shooting in Sutherland Springs back a few years ago. But this is getting a lot of attention today. The left is saying, well, this could potentially be another Charlottesville, those kinds of things. But we'll have to wait and see.
But are you telling me now, did I understand that correctly, that the law, which is a proposed law?
Yes.
There's several laws.
Several,
okay,
yeah.
That they want to, the left in Virginia, they want to ban gun ranges?
Yes.
Here's some of the other things that the laws would do. Require, again, like you said, Tim, they would still have to pass the full Senate and the House of Delegates before going to the governor for a signature. I'm reading from a Fox News story. The bills that sailed through the Senate Judiciary Committee would require background checks on all firearms purchases. So I would imagine that would be gun shows as well. Allow law enforcement to temporarily remove guns from people deemed to be a risk to themselves or others. Now, that is not allowing the person who's supposedly a risk to defend himself. I was listening to Sandy Rios this morning. My understanding is if an ex-wife or an ex-husband or, you know, whatever, somebody says, I think he's a danger to somebody, here are my reasons why, and he has guns, they go to a judge. The judge says, go get the guns, and they just show up at the house. The person is not allowed to defend himself or herself before the judge and say, I'm not a danger to myself. I believe that's...
So you're guilty.
You're guilty. And then you temporarily remove... That's right. And then limit handgun purchases to one a month and let localities decide on whether to ban weapons from certain events. So those are some of the laws that have been, as well as what Fred is saying.
You know, what I've heard the other comments this morning, this what we're fighting here is more government control over your life. I mean, it's taking away, and what about, we do have a Second Amendment in this country. So what does that clash doesn't seem much, but this is a demonstration. Every time we've had shootings, and those are tragedies at schools or whatever the case may be, you remember Barack Obama when he was president, he admitted he would use every opportunity of these tragedies to push stricter gun control. That was his one of his goals of his presidency.
Mm-hmm. This is a ruse. Well, it is and it isn't a ruse. This is real proposed legislation that may or may not pass in Virginia, but the Democrats do control the House, Senate, and the governorship there.
Yes.
Because the demographics of Virginia in the last 10 years in particular have changed drastically, so that many people have moved into the Washington, D.C. area, that is suburbs. The federal government has grown, and all of them are Democrats. Almost all federal government employees are Democrats, probably 80-90% of them. But what's going on here, I say ruse, they're chipping away at the Second Amendment rights of Americans. Mm-hmm. And their goal is to do away with the Second Amendment altogether.
I believe that.
Yes. Oh, it's worse than that even. They want to do away with the First Amendment too.
For themselves.
Yes, these quote progressives, and they always do things in the name of something they think that a majority of people would accept, because let's face it, a lot of people will trade freedom for security, or, you know, they'll trade in some freedoms for more security, or what they think is more security. That's
right.
That's been the tension in America for the last couple of decades on guns. But what these people want to do is take advantage of the tragedies that happen, where people are killed by somebody, and they want to say, look, it's the guns. So we need to take away the guns, and then that will stop the violence.
Right.
Huh?
That's their argument.
That's why if you listen to them, and many in the media do this too, they call it gun violence. Well, they'll call it gun violence first, and that takes the responsibility. That puts more responsibility on the gun than it does the person who's pulling the trigger.
Right.
Okay. And that's what they want to do, because they want to condition the minds of the American people that we have to get rid of, we have to confiscate or get rid of guns. And all you've got out supporting this is these wild-eyed, crazy, right-wing, nut-job, good old boys who want their guns, and it's causing the death of our school children.
Right.
This is how they frame it.
Right.
And So we'll see whether this works, whether this works politically. I don't know. In Virginia, I would guess you do have some Democrats that are yellow dogs. By that, I mean they're more conservative than your, say, New York Democrat. But two, will this be held up in federal court or not? It surely will go to the federal court system.
Yeah, and this is whenever people talk about from the progressive left, and we do use air quotes when we say progressive, they'll say, listen, why are you conservatives against reasonable gun laws? And my answer, I don't have these conversations very often, but when I do, my answer is always because I don't trust you. I don't trust you because to me, all you're doing is it's the camel's nose under the tent flap. Is you, the only reason you propose what you call reasonable gun laws is to take away guns in a step-by-step manner.
That's their goal.
That's their goal. If you would, if all these people on the left would sign off and say, we believe the Second Amendment allows people to have guns and protect the rights as the Second Amendment is supposed to, then I might say, okay, let's talk about reasonable gun laws, but I don't trust you, and so I'm not giving you one inch.
Yes, and the progressives, again in air quotes, they also want to do away with the First Amendment to the Constitution. If they had their way, they would outlaw any criticism of groups that they, in other words, if we were to come on and say here, homosexuality is a sin, then the left would say, that's hate speech, it needs to be banned, we're taking away your license.
Yes, and that is
what they want to do.
That's the way it is in Canada.
That's right.
Right. You can't. Yes,
and in some places in Europe.
But Canada and the U.S. is different. We have a First Amendment.
Right. That's true.
Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble. Well, the left wants to take that away from us. They do. And again, in the day, listen to me. This is what they do. They put it in the name of preventing hate speech.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, raise your hand if you're for hate speech.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
No. Okay, nope, nobody's for hate speech, but the left gets to define the terms.
Yes.
Okay, so they're going to say, they're going to also go after, they also want to come after the rest of us, if you will, to say, okay, you're for burning up the planet because you're against the Paris global warming, so you need to be punished.
Yeah.
How do we punish you? We fine you.
Yes.
We find your business because you haven't signed off to this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is where they're going with this. This is why Bernie Sanders' guy on the ground the other day in Iowa, one of his aides, I don't know if he's one of his top aides.
Well, I think he's one of his campaign managers
in Iowa.
In Iowa.
He was secretly interviewed. And he said that conservatives, I'm paraphrasing now, conservatives in this country are Trump supporters need to be sent to re-education camps. Now, that's what he said. That's exactly what he said. He was speaking what they really want to do.
Yes.
The left in this country, they view us as the enemy of the progressive civilization, and it's stopping us by any means necessary.
And he also said, if we don't win in November,
cities will burn.
Yeah, he's talking about Bernie Sanders.
Has Bernie Sanders condemned this?
I have not heard. I haven't heard. I don't want to.
In other words, if Bernie Sanders doesn't win in November.
He said, Milwaukee, we're going to beat the cops, he said.
He said,
we will beat the cops in Milwaukee. That's where the Democratic
National Convention is. They're going to make Chicago look like a Girl Scout picnic.
Right, from 1968.
Come up to Chicago, so that's the thinking of these progressives, is that they are on a righteous mission to squash, by any means necessary, conservative and or Christian Americans. We'll be back in with more good news in about 2 minutes.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
This is what Rand Paul is warning them he's going to do. He's thought this through. He says, look, if you GOP senators who say you want witnesses, vote for witnesses, then I am going to demand that Hunter Biden be subpoenaed.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Well, 2020 is here, and I hope you're having a wonderful first of the new year. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, coming up in June and September, we have our annual spiritual heritage tours, and they are filling up fast. We're probably going to be full for June by March. We'll probably be full for September by June. So if you want to go with us on this very special tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and also a separate tour of Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and join us along with historian Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, you just need to order a brochure from us or go online. Just go online to spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. For a free brochure, call 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. There's a controversy at the University of Southern Maine over an art exhibit that includes a desecrated Bible. The exhibit features torn pages from the Bible painted to resemble the Lake of Fire. The artwork is part of an exhibit called Unholy Bible, created by a student who identifies as an atheist. The university defended the art display, citing Board of Trustee Policy 212. They say the student has a right to create content that might be offensive to other people. So, would the University of Southern Maine display an art exhibit that desecrated the Quran or disparaged the Prophet Muhammad? That's doubtful. The truth is, university administrators and atheists are terrified of offending any other religious groups except for Christians and Jews. And I suspect the University of Southern Maine, when faced with that decision, would rather tear up Board of Trustee Policy 212 than a copy of the Quran. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, if you'd like to watch the show on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube and just type in Today's Issues. We are live video streaming the show every day there, Monday through Friday. We thank you for those who take advantage of that. You can also access the stories that we talk about on our Facebook page. We post the stories that we discuss, so you can have the firsthand information for yourself. And then you can also engage with other fine listeners there on our Facebook page for Today's Issues. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to let listeners know, we're just talking to Brent Creeley, our show's producer. Normally we post on our Facebook page for Today's Issues what we have addressed in a segment, but we are not going to post the Project Veritas video that we were talking about with the Iowa campaign manager or director, right, or whatever, for Bernie Sanders, because even though it's bleeped, it is filled with foul language. This guy
on his part,
and so we just don't want to post that. But if you really want to watch that video, you can just go to Project Veritas. That's the name of the group that does these. James O'Keefe is the one who does that. The Project Veritas. That's Veritas. Project Veritas. And you can search for it. That was all over the internet last week, so you can probably find it.
You know, Tim, just to your point of the agenda of the left to punish Christians, you remember when the marriage amendments were being passed? What was it, 30 states?
Yeah, it was 37, or 36, something like that. It was a large number.
And the other side was arguing we don't need those things because homosexuals, all they want is to be left alone.
Right.
But look what has happened since the Supreme Court decision that overrode those state amendments, basically.
Yeah.
How Christians have been punished. I'm thinking, you know, Bernell Stutzman, you know.
The bakers, the florists, the
all of those.
Yeah.
The candlestick makers,
yeah.
You know.
Put you out of business for what you believe.
Right.
Take away your livelihood. And the left has no problem doing that.
And they say it. They say, if that's the way you want to do it, you should be out of business.
Yes. Take away your livelihood.
Right.
Yes.
So they're all in on punishing. I mean, Hillary Clinton, basket of deplorables.
Right.
I would call that hate speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. By their how loosely they define it. Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's we're in a crisis in our country. We all see this. The left wing politicians and elites, they are out to crush conservatives and Christians, and by crush, I mean, again, by all means necessary, and punish us into submission. That is their goal. Look, Hollywood does this every day. I know I'm using Hollywood generally. I've got a column coming out in our next AFA journal, and I cite three examples, although there are more. Madonna, the singer, says at a gathering the day after the inauguration that she's thought many times about, is it burning that bomb?
Blowing up
the White House. Snoop Dogg, the rapper, has a album cover or a video which shows him assassinating, shooting President Trump point blank.
In the head.
The comedian, I use that with air quotes too, Kathy Griffin, not a household name, but a lot of people know who she is. She shows a picture on her Instagram, on her Facebook page, of a decapitated President Trump with blood, and it's gory.
Her holding the head.
Her holding the head up. And then she claims to be the victim. There's no price to pay for these celebrities to say anything about, look, Johnny Depp, the actor, said something about maybe in something.
The last time an actor shot a president.
Shot a president.
Referring to the assassination of Lincoln. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Suggesting he would like to assassinate Donald Trump.
Right.
Not an act of violence, but certainly provocative, is Robert De Niro. He can't do any kind of public event without saying blank Trump.
Right.
In the most vilest way. These people are applauded.
Yes.
Colin Kaepernick wears socks that depict cops as pigs, and wears T-shirts promoting Fidel Castro, who has murdered and persecuted thousands and thousands in Cuba before his death, dictator. Colin Kaepernick holds him up as a hero. Is there a price to pay for that? No. Nike says, here's millions and millions of dollars. You are a great...
You're our spokesman.
You're a brave man.
Yeah. And if you criticize them, they would say, hey, First Amendment, buddy.
Yeah.
But when it's talking about our side with First Amendment, you know, no, you can't say that homosexuality is a sin. We want to take away your radio station license
and your livelihood.
And so when it comes to that, and we say, well, what about the First Amendment? Well, no, you can't promote hate.
Right. They get to define the term.
Right.
All the time. So I say this, if these people, and I'm just going to leave it like that, if they could assassinate President Trump, they would. Because he is, well, Linda Ronstadt, the singer. Now, she's popular from 70s, I know that, and 80s. But she, the other day, did an interview, and she said the Mexicans today are like the Jews. In other words, President Trump is taking the place of Hitler. Trump treats Mexicans like Hitler treated Jews.
Right.
That's the moral equivalency that these people draw. So that I say, they view President Trump as Hitler. And we, those who voted for him, are Nazis. Well, what do you do with Nazis and Hitler? You take them out. You destroy them. You squash them.
Or you put them in re-education camps.
Bernie
Sanders guides.
Yeah, that's what they want to do. So this is not your typical... We don't live in an age of typical Democrat versus Republican fighting where, you know, at the end of the day, they all, you know, shake hands and just fighting over ideas any longer. This isn't Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan. The secular progressives are ruthless, and you call somebody deplorables? Listen, Hillary Clinton called us deplorables. What do you do with deplorables?
Because she said, and they're irredeemable.
Irredeemable.
Which means they can't change.
Right. So what do you do with deplorables who are irredeemable? You punish them, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You punish them. That's also why you don't think that they want to squash. They're trying to squash commerce now. I thought about this yesterday. You have these states like California and New York, and the governors there and the legislatures say, okay, citizens of California and New York, you can't travel to these certain states. We forbid you from doing government business. Sports teams in California, you can't travel to Mississippi and play a school from a homophobic state.
Right.
Huh?
They
did that.
Yes.
That's what they're doing. So that's the front end of what they really want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the tempered down version of what these people really want to do. Well, look, what was the governor of New York? Cuomo.
Yes.
He said, don't come to our state if you're pro-life or if you're against same-sex marriage.
You're not welcome here.
You're not welcome here. What do you do with deplorables who are irredeemable, who are not welcome here? As I say, if these people ever get full control of our country, God forbid that ever happens, because they're not going to be interested in debates.
Right.
They're going to be interested in using the full force of the federal government to close us down. By us, I mean the conservatives and the Christians, in every way possible. But what happened was, along came Donald Trump. This is why they're so seethingly, if that's a word, angry, still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
At what happened with Trump and Hillary Clinton. Because what happened with President Trump's election, and I think it was God's intervening hand. If you don't believe that, that's fine.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I believe that, because look what's happened. It put a monkey wrench, and I'm talking about a big monkey wrench, in what the left wanted to do. They were about to close the deal.
Yes.
All right, they had 8 years of Obama stacking the federal bureaucracy with progressives, from the FBI all the way to the Department of Agriculture, probably.
Right.
Okay, 8 years of that kind of thing.
Judges.
Oh, yeah, judges. And all they needed was 4 more years, if not 8 more years, of somebody like Hillary Clinton to go after the deplorables.
Right.
And it would have changed America to look like Europe, okay,
right,
or worse. So when he won, then they couldn't go ahead and finish out the Supreme Court with make it 9-0. They couldn't, and the federal judges, President Trump has appointed 100 and had confirmed 184?
186 judges. And you remember, President Obama left so many of those unfilled because the expectation was,
right,
Hillary will do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Right, and that's the reason they behaved as they did at the FBI, is because they thought Hillary would win.
Right.
For sure.
and then she'll cover everything up.
So when she didn't, again, that's why it's to this day they're still so angry.
Right.
They're still trying to. That's why Nancy Pelosi said, "Well, when did this impeachment start?" Pelosi was asked this a couple weeks ago. You may remember this, and she said it started 3 years ago.
Right.
So it had nothing to do the Ukrainian phone call, that 30 or seconds or whatever. That was just an excuse to give them anything to hang their hat on to go after an impeachment.
Right.
Yeah. But you know, Tim and Ed, Nancy Pelosi has told us this is a somber event that she's taking the country through right now.
Yes.
And she prays for the president.
Right.
Every day.
And she's got a commemorative ink pen she can sell you too.
Exactly.
Recognize the somberness of the
yes.
moment.
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, Brett.
Next chapter in this procedure is
in this somber moment.
In a somber moment. But on the weekend, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she appears on Real Time with Bill Maher. No kidding. She's
okay. Now I got to tell you, Fred. Excuse me for interrupting, but there is only so many Bill Maher segments in a year I can take. We're in January.
That's right.
I'm going to give you two more
for the whole year.
Okay, so this is one. You get three for the year. You're going to burn one right here.
Yeah, going to burn one right here.
Okay, go ahead.
Can't resist this. All right. So this is Pelosi who told us a somber occasion. Remember the little marching from the House over to the
yes.
Senate last week and. The somber faces on Adam Schiff and these other
Nadler,
very somber.
She wore black a couple of weeks ago when they.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah. Well, she's on with Bill Maher this weekend, fist pumping and laughing about this. Cut number four.
Thank you so much for waiting till we got back on the air before you started the impeachment. That deserves a fist pump. Thank you.
It isn't about politics.
Right.
It isn't about partisanship. It's about patriotism. It's about our Constitution. And you're impeached forever.
Yeah.
She likes saying that, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She likes saying that. Impeached
forever.
Forever. Well, Ted Cruz came back on that line, which she's been repeating, impeached forever, impeached forever. He was on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures. And here's what he had to say about the impeach forever line. Cut number six.
Nancy Pelosi is going out on TV crowing that the president has been impeached forever.
Right.
Well, when we get to final judgment, the president will have been acquitted forever of these bogus impeachment charges.
Mm, yep.
That's a much better outcome for the president, for the country.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how the TV coverage of this goes. Of course, tomorrow what's going to happen in the Senate is that the Senate Majority Leader will start to unveil the response to the charges that have come from the House. We're starting to hear already kind of the strategy of the Trump defense team in all of this. And it looks like what they're going to be doing, and here's Trump attorney Robert Ray. He was on Fox and Friends this morning, and this is perhaps a little hint of the defense that we're going to get from the Trump defense team as we go into these impeachment proceedings tomorrow. Cut number two.
Never in our history has there been an impeachment of a president without even an allegation that a crime was committed, and that under the circumstances, given that, that is untethered to the foundational principles that come from the Constitution itself. And, you know, to drift away from that is essentially an effort, and a partisan one at that, to attempt to remove a duly elected president. I mean, what are they saying to over 60 million Americans who voted for President Trump in the last election?
Yeah, once again, to the point, this is about overturning the 2016 election. So that's a bit of a hint that they're going to go at this.
You can do that in November, by the way.
Yes.
If you, huh?
That's right.
I mean, we got a resolution to all this.
Mm-hmm.
It's called November. Election. We got a presidential election coming up.
Yeah. Well, this is most people are going to see in this process what they already believed. So you're going to have people on
right.
the left who have always considered President Trump an illegitimate president. They will crow like Nancy Pelosi. He's impeached forever. I told you he was a bum. He never should have been elected president. People who believed he was duly elected, who support the president's policies, they're going to say forever he was acquitted forever. So here's the thing, which is why I think this political sideshow, circus sideshow, is going to be a pain in the neck for most Americans, Nancy Pelosi and them, completely partisan, is from now on for the next 4 or 5 years, every time I read an article and go down and look at the comments, it's going to come up. This is what we're going to, he was impeached forever. No, he was acquitted forever. And that's what I got to read every time I read the comments. It's always going to go to that.
Well, also, then you're going to read, I made $100 an hour working from my home.
Yes.
Last month on my computer.
Yeah.
Click here and you too can become very rich.
Yes.
But drinking coffee in your pajamas.
You know what? I'd rather read that than this incessant back and forth
I know.
About Donald Trump in an article about hockey.
I know.
Okay. All right. That's a.
So you're reading about your Boston Bruins. It doesn't take you five comments down for them to turn something to happen to Trump's fault or whatever.
Yeah. Or MAGA. Or MAGA.
MAGA.
One or the other.
MAGA.
Which, listen, fine. Believe what you want.
Yeah,
keep
I know.
It out of the comments section.
All right. You're listening. You are listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Maybe Nancy Pelosi is just looked at her field of Democrat presidential candidates and thought, well, I'll just go ahead and take a shot at impeachment here because
yeah.
it doesn't look too promising.
After the Mueller report didn't pan out,
right.
she
yeah.
thought, well, the next thing that walks through that door, that's what we're going to hit them with, and we're going right. to impeach them over it.
And I do think the even though Nancy Pelosi – she is an independent thinking person. She's not given to pressure making her do something. I mean, that's just the way she's made because AOC and the other ones tried to push her into this prior into impeachment. Not that she hasn't wanted to do it. She just hadn't thought it politically prudent. I'm talking
right.
about Nancy Pelosi up until now. I don't even know secretly if she thinks this is politically prudent.
Right.
But she was pressured enough from the Bernie Sanders, AOC, left wing, which is probably a majority of the Democratic Party today, to, okay, Nancy, you're going to do something now?
Right.
You're going to let him get away with this?
Right.
And she gave in to that. And so we have what we have. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, when is the next Democrat debate? Because I've got to set my recorder. Can you tell me?
Well, the next big event is the Iowa caucuses.
Right.
Oh, that's the next big event.
2 weeks from today.
Because this was the last debate before that.
Yes. 2 weeks from today.
The caucuses. Now, of course, that's different than primaries. Mm-hmm. We all know following presidential politics for decades, as we all have here in this room, it's going to be a caucus is different. It's more committed.
Yes.
Than a primary because you have to physically go and
yes,
lobby absolutely. For your person and follow certain rules and take probably 2 or 3 hours of your time. I
so
guess.
this trial now in the Senate, this kind of leaves Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Klobuchar, Senator Klobuchar, in kind of an awkward place because they've got to sit in the Senate. Now, they're probably going to argue up front for what Nancy wants, more witnesses. Chuck Schumer says he wants more witnesses. But this thing could go on 7 to 8 weeks. They'd have to sit.
7 to 8 weeks?
7 to 8 weeks.
Oh, 7 to 8 weeks. Okay.
7 to 8 weeks.
Okay, thank you.
So they can't campaign. Because then we're going to be into New Hampshire. Then we're going to be into South Carolina. And before you know it, we're into Super Tuesday.
Yeah, no, I don't think that it's gonna last for 7 or 8 weeks, though, right? Is that what the Democrats want, you're saying?
No. They want more witnesses, but if the Republicans fight back and say, okay, you want this witness A, we want witness B, and then it has the potential to go on that long. But those three Democrat senators are burned already because we've got Iowa happening 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, you're saying it keeps them off the road.
Oh, yeah.
Going to make stump speeches in those.
Also, is the senator from Colorado, Mike Bennett, is he also running for president too, isn't he? I think he's one of those lower tier.
He is way down.
He's way down. But what I'm saying is that's four senators running for president who need to be, in terms of their own possibility of getting the nomination, need to be on the road, not in the Senate chambers. And then they should recuse themselves from this because they're running for the the position that they could vote to remove the president from.
Yes.
But if you're not in there for the entirety of the trial,
yes,
how do you cast a vote if you haven't heard all the evidence? You're out in Iowa campaigning. This puts them in a difficult
Steny
position.
Well, Steny Hoyer, the House of Representatives, number two guy, a Democrat from Maryland, not a senator, so he won't be voting in a trial, but he made the comment over the weekend that it's up to Trump, President Trump, to prove his innocence. Did you see this?
Yes. To prove his innocence.
Yeah. Notice the change. It's up to us to prove he's guilty. Mm-hmm. It's up to him to prove he's innocent.
Right.
And somebody cited that. One of the Republicans said, see, that's the attitude that they have, which is counter the American way.
Right.
The American way is to prove that you're guilty.
Yes.
Because the Democrats say, no, Trump needs to prove that he's innocent. Oh, by the way, I might add, not a crime.
Yes. No, he's not been charged with
a crime. There's not a crime.
Right.
They haven't cited a crime here yet that he's committed. Only these vague sort of obstruction of Congress.
That's
Isn't
right.
that what they call it?
Obstruction of Congress.
Which, by the way, I've said many times I'm for.
Obstructing Congress. There was another politician, I glanced at this and just read a few paragraphs in, Democrat who said the president is guilty of bribery, and then he was immediately asked, well, why didn't you include that in the charges, the impeachment charges? Because that is a crime, bribery, and it's mentioned, I think, in the Constitution as grounds for impeachment, and he wouldn't answer. Because these people are just throwing up there and seeing what sticks.
Also, they accused the General Accounting Office or something the other day, like last week, accused the president of breaking the law.
Yes, that's what the GAO
with respect
said.
To the withholding the Ukrainian money.
Right.
Yes.
For a while.
Yeah.
By the way, the Ukrainians ultimately got the money
right
from the federal government that they say Trump was holding over their head. And one columnist over the weekend, which we posted it, I've forgotten his name, said we posted it on our Facebook page for today's issues. What's the gentleman's name? Anyway, he said, is this the same General Accounting Office that found that said that what President Obama did was illegal when he traded five jihadis leaders for Bergdahl? Remember Bergdahl?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was his
first
name?
Bo
Bergdahl, the American turncoat. Remember that?
Yes.
And what President Obama did right there, they said, was illegal. Well, there was no cries of impeachment,
nope.
You know what I'm saying,
right.
Against President Obama. Yeah,
that's right.
So we'll see what happens. But I tell you who's the last year or so I've changed my opinion about, and that's Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. I think this is seeing the left on full display has changed him, and he knows now what the score is and what's going on, what these people are after.
What changed him was Kavanaugh,
hearings.
Yeah. Yep, that's what changed him.
Before that, you know, and I met him one time at a Values Voters Summit. So nice guy, from South Carolina. Senator, smart guy, but I always considered him a rhino.
A lot of people did.
But now I want that rhino on my team.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
All right, Ed and I shall return with Steve Jordahl in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.